Next case, Mr. Yawkey.
The next matter before the Post Council is the certification of Tyler A. Venema. Before I get started on this, you should have just recently received this. After I provide you a summary, if you'll just please glance at this letter that was provided by Deputy Chief Richard Davis. So the next matter is the certification of Tyler A. Venema. He is a current member with the West Jordan Police Department. The sustained allegations are official misconduct, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution, and this is based on the nature of the offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On March 18, 2014, Tyler Venema received a phone text message from a female who works at a local restaurant informing him that she was being issued a citation from another officer in his agency. Venema sent a text to the citing officer telling her to get rid of the citation if it had not already been submitted. The other officer had already served the citation on the female but had not transmitted the electronic copy to the court. The other officer informed Venema she would be canceling the citation. After learning the citation would be canceled by the other officer, Venema sent a text to the female violator telling her she did not need to appear on the citation. On September 10, 2014, Officer Venema waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action. And then again, if you could just briefly read over the new information that was provided.
Director Stevenson, did we receive anything on this from Chief Diamond? Did we receive anything on this from Chief Diamond or just Deputy Chief Davis?
That's in a case in my head. Did we receive a letter from Chief Diamond?
The letter from Chief Diamond basically said that the letter from Chief Diamond indicated that he felt that this incident was so insignificant that he'd prefer that Post not take any action on it whatsoever.
Okay, thank you.
The letter from Chief Diamond was addressed to Post. It was not addressed to the Post Council.
All right.
It was concerning our recommendations. So that's why it was not provided to the council.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Venema?
Chair, members of the council, I'm Brett Rawson for Tyler Venema. Keep in mind that Chief Diamond addressed a letter to Post and not Post Council. There is a letter from Deputy Chief Richard Davis, which you should have in front of you, and I'll just briefly read it. I'm Deputy Chief Richard Davis from the West Jordan Police Department. I'm hoping to address you on the incident involving two of our police officers. The officers were involved in an incident concerning ticket fixing. We as an organization have addressed this issue with both of these officers and have dealt with it accordingly. Officer Vincent has been with our organization for 20 plus years. In that time, she has had a stellar record and has been a fantastic employee. She has been a mentor and a leader in the field. She is exemplary in her attitude and actions. For the short period of time that Officer Venema spent with us, he too has shown ability to be a mentor and leader. It should be noted that Officer Venema has recently left our organization and moved on to the Salt Lake City Police Department. These two officers have shown remorse and have taken full responsibility for their actions. We are confident in the actions we have taken to correct the officers. We also feel that the same kind of incident will not occur with these officers once again. We recommend to the council that they take no further action with these officers. The allegations stem from 77-7-26, and I'd like to read you the relevant portion of that statute. It is unlawful in official misconduct for any peace officer or other officer or public employee to dispose of a traffic citation. Now, in those brief words, you have this concept of dispose of, but there is no discussion whatsoever on issuance. When does a ticket become issued such that the disposal of the ticket becomes a violation of law? For those of you who went to police academy prior to 1995, it was more clear-cut. because in those days, the issuance dealt with perhaps the service or the signing of the ticket. But you flash forward in time, and you have the computer era where there is this process that includes submitting citations for review by a supervisor through an electronic means. At West Jordan, they use FatPot and Spillman. They have a combination of those two systems. And once they issue the ticket in the system, it doesn't get to the court until there's a final review. And for purposes in this case, there frankly was confusion about when the discretion that is afforded police officers goes away and the ticket is actually issued. The reality is we're taught in police academy that there's a great deal of discretion when it involves things like traffic citations or even Class B or C misdemeanors, certainly infractions. In this case, there was a belief that that discretion was still available to the officers. In any event, they've both, and I address them because they're both here, and you'll hear the other case shortly hereafter, but they're here, they've shown remorse, they will not do it again, and the post-recommendation of a letter of caution we would submit is the most severe penalty that should be issued these officers at this time. But the request that we're making is that you go with the recommendation made by the West Jordan Police Department and take no further action against these officers. Thank you.
Does your client wish to address the council?
Is there anything you wish to say? Not at this time, thank you.
Sheriff Tracy.
Experience, but I thought the legislative intent of that statute was to prevent undue influence, not necessarily dismiss something. When we go through and our sergeants do look at the citations that are written, that's not for the issue of dismissal, it's for completeness of the court's accuracy of the code, and not to allow that sergeant or any other person to put undue or untoward influence on whether that should go forward or not as a charge. I think that lies with the county attorney once that occurred. So that's my question, is that do you feel differently about that, even though that I understand the signature issue, but once that officer made the decision to sign, and then there's an issue of influence that comes about, and in this case, even for personal gain of a free meal, it seems to me that is a clear violation of intent, not
natural. I don't disagree with the intent of the legislature as you express it. What I do, I guess, have a problem with is the vague and ambiguous way in which they've set forth their intention in plain language. It needs to be plain enough that even the most simple officer can read it and understand where that line is crossed. And the point that I'm trying to make is simply that it is vague and ambiguous as written, and we should not hold these officers to a standard more severe than they otherwise would if it was more clear.
Mr. Ross, you can raise more questions about the lights. I've got to ask them. So I'm kind of confused on the traffic stop. A traffic stop was initiated. The officer gave them an actual physical copy of a citation. They signed that citation. They drove away. And then the information was deleted after the fact.
My understanding was the information that the actual citation was deleted in the system.
After the traffic stop had been made, after the person had received a copy of that citation? Prior to?
That's correct.
So the discretion, the confusing part for me is you were saying that the officers are taught that they have discretion after the issuance of a citation to then delete it after the fact?
Well, and I apologize for this, but it depends on where it is issued. The confusion here is in the question of the issuance of the citation. Is it issued upon signing? Is it issued upon service? Is it issued when it is submitted in the system? At what point can an officer use that discretion to not effectuate the, in this case, an arrest by citation?
The officer's understanding that he still has discretion after the issuance of the citation to the violator, they drive away, they still have discretion to mess with that citation.
I think the question in this case was they did not know at the time that they engaged in the activity. Today, as they stand here, they absolutely know where the line is drawn. And as the letter from Deputy Chief Richard Davis states, there is a confidence that the behavior will not be that will not occur again.
Any other questions? I guess this just goes to the old adage, there's no such thing as a free meal, which is unfortunate that not everybody realizes. All right. Mr. Yockey, do you have any comments? Thank you. Okay, we'll bring it back to Pulse Council. We have a motion to accept by Sheriff Smith.
Second.
Second by Chief Carpenter. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next matter before the Post Council is the counterpart to that matter we just recently heard. It's the certification of Denise Vincent, current member of the West Jordan Police Department. The sustained allegations are official misconduct, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution based on the nature of the offense. Summary of the facts are as follows. On March 18, 2014, Denise Vincent issued a written citation to a female driver for speeding. After the traffic stop was concluded, Vincent received a phone text message from another officer within her agency telling her to get rid of the citation if she had not already submitted it to the court. Vincent disposed of her copies of the citation and deleted the citation from her computer. The other officer informed the female driver she would not have to appear in court. On August 28, 2014, Officer Vincent waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you, Mr. Yockey. Any questions, Mr. Yockey? Mr. Rawson?
This is the counterpart case, and I would simply incorporate by reference the comments that I made in the other case and add to that as it states in the letter that you have, Officer Vincent has been with the West Jordan Police Department for 20-plus years. In that time, she has had a stellar record and has been a fantastic employee. She has been a mentor and a leader in the field. She is exemplary in her attitude and actions. And just as a matter of fairness, I would ask that the council do nothing different in this case than they have done in the other case. Thank you.
Ma'am, would you like to address the council?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Yockey?
Nothing further.
Thank you. Bring it back to the council for discussion. Okay.
Second.
What was your recommendation, Sheriff? Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear him.
Accept the recommendation.
Thank you. And it was seconded by Dr. Bay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Mr. Yockey.
The next matter before the Post Council is a certification of Jonathan W. Ritchie. Officer Ritchie is a current member with the Unified Police Department. The sustained allegations are criminal trespass, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution based on the nature of the facts of the offense and based on the nature of the offense. Summary of the facts are as follows. On August 31st, 2013, Richie and his wife and two police service dogs stopped at a parking area near a river to allow the dogs to run and cool off in the river. While walking near the river on a dirt road, Richie saw a zipline amusement ride, and he and his wife began walking to that location. While walking on the road, a female driver, later identified as the property owner, rapidly approached Mr. Ritchie and his wife while in a vehicle and began yelling at them that they were trespassing. The local sheriff's office was contacted. Two deputies arrived at the location and took the complaint. The property owner signed a criminal complaint against Ritchie and his wife. Ritchie later entered a plea of no contest to the charge of criminal trespass, a Class B misdemeanor. On August 29, 2014, Officer Ritchie waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Yonke? Okay, is Mr. Ritchie here, legal counsel?
Good afternoon, counsel. My name is Jonathan Thorne. I'm attorney for John Ritchie, and I'm going to make a brief statement on his behalf. And what this comes down to, we've got a 30-year veteran of the police force. He's got a completely unblemished record. He's never been disciplined by post. He's never been disciplined by any agency. He's never seen the inside of an IA room. He's currently post-certified as a canine handler. He's a certified as a instructor and a judge for post canines. What happened in this situation, you know, it was an unfortunate situation where a property owner thought he was trespassing. They were out exercising their canine dogs by the Provo River. They saw this zip line, and Mr. Ritchie's wife said, let's go check out the zip line. She'd never been on one, and so they start walking up this dirt road, and the property owner was unaware of their intent to enter her business and see what was going on. Instead, she contacted the police and filled out a complaint form, cited him for trespassing. It became an unfortunate situation. Mr. Ritchie would have disputed this charge, but his wife was entering Navy boot camp. And part of the policies with her entering the boot camp is she could not have any criminal proceedings ongoing. So the prosecutor learned of this and said, look, John, I'll let your wife off the hook. We won't charge her. We'll drop the charges if you plead to no contest in this case. Even though John had no intent to unlawfully trespass, he didn't meet the elements, he agreed so his wife could enter boot camp. Otherwise, she would have been prohibited from doing so. So he had no choice but to accept this plea. What's important here is UPD, they fully investigated this matter. They determined that John did not violate any policy. In fact, they determined that he acted appropriately in the situation. Post-investigator Rex Dana thoroughly investigated this matter. Had John not pled no contest to this, I'm sure Post would have recommended no action in this case. But unfortunately, that's the fact here. Mr. Ritchie is willing to accept the Post recommendation, though we would ask you to consider a lesser action and take no action based on the circumstances in this case. And we appreciate your time, and we apologize for taking up the post counsel's time with us.
Thank you. Sheriff Smith has a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is he charged with criminal trespass or trespass?
Trespass. I don't know if you're familiar with the area. Right below, in Provo Canyon, there's a lot of fishermen that go up there and fish. And a lot of the property owners, they don't want people on their property. So they've become, somewhat insensitive of people being on their property. This certain property owner owns a zip line. They allow people to come through their property to go to the zip line. She saw John with his dogs and thought, this guy's on my property trespassing. She did not realize that, his intent was to actually go check out her business.
My follow-up is just, my information is on a first act of trespass, they're asked to leave. If they don't leave, then the law is involved and it's criminal trespass.
Yeah.
Am I reading that wrong?
In this case, John talked to the owner, told her he was planning on going up to the zip line. She was somewhat enraged with him being on her property. He said, look, we're going to leave. We'll walk back to our cars. And she said, I'm calling the police. And he says, that's fine. I'm a police officer myself. And there's some other issues that occurred. But John retreated to his vehicle, pulled up to a parking lot, one section up, and waited for the police to come, flag them down. Meanwhile, he had contacted his own dispatch trying to get in touch with dispatch. And the police came down. They took her complaint. Before they even interviewed John, they had already written him a citation.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Ritchie, would you like to address the council?
No, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Yonke, do you have additional information?
Yes, council members. He was actually cited and pled no contest to criminal trespass under 76-6206-2B, is with the information that we have.
So I guess my question is, the zip line was open for business. So somebody on the property that's open for business, regardless, the owner's not going to know your intent. I don't get this case at all. I don't see the issue here.
I agree. I mean, the problem is he had his dogs with him, and she thought he was just out playing in the water. He had no intent to actually go to her business. He was walking down the road. He wasn't close to the water. He was headed toward her business, and for whatever reason, you know, there was another altercation later on that night involving the same property owner where she...
I would just have to object. This is just outside the scope of...
Right. Yeah, that
this was within the post-investigative file.
Is it?
There was an incident later on, not involving John, but involving the property owner, where she contacted the police again to cite other individuals for trespassing on her property. In the police record, it indicates that she was that they had reported she was driving recklessly. You know, she had the same kind of demeanor. I don't know what was going on.
Okay. Well, we're not going to address that second issue, sir. So let's not refer to it anymore. It's not pertinent. Mr. Yockey, do you have additional information?
The only thing council members, we're looking at a letter of caution because he did plead no contest to a criminal trespass, and Post did consider the minimal nature of the offense and did consider all the facts that were taken in regards to this matter, and that's why we are recommending a letter of caution and not going for the recommended guideline under the post-disciplinary guidelines.
Again, my personal opinion is I just have a hard time because if I was walking up to the zip line to do business there, I could be arrested for trespassing. So that being said, Sheriff, did you want to say something?
Just to add to that, we've talked about letters of caution before, and letters of caution are put in place so that if this individual comes back with a problem, it enhances it. So I'm not inclined to look at a letter of caution. I'll
take
that out,
but
I'll wait for a chance to make
a motion. All right. Sure, this has happened in our county. The landowner has the right to make that determination that she wanted to press the charges. She pressed the charges. She talking about officer discretion. Have our officers had less of a demand by the complainant, would probably have given him a warning. So.
Right, and I understand the property owner's rights, but I'm not coming to Provo Canyon to ride your zip line. all right, we'll bring it back. Thank you. Bring it back to the council for a motion.
I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead, Sheriff.
I'd like to make a motion to not consider this situation with Post.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion for no action to basically reject Post recommendation for a letter of counsel and replace that with a no action by Post. Is that correct, Sheriff?
That's correct.
All right. Sheriff Tracy? That's second. Okay, any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Yockey, you're up next.
The next matter before the Post Council is the certification of Brock Finlay. He is a current member with the Utah Department of Corrections. The sustained allegations are purchasing the wrong class of fishing licensing, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a letter of caution based on the minimal nature of the offense and also based on the facts. Summary of the facts are as follows. On November 11, 2013, Brock Finlay and a group of friends traveled to Idaho for a weekend fishing trip. The group stopped at a store in Idaho to purchase fishing licenses. Finlay requested a 3-day non-resident license for steelhead and salmon. Finlay, a former resident of Idaho, was mistakenly issued a 2013 Idaho resident adult fishing permit and a 2013 Idaho resident permit for steelhead. Idaho's computer system performed a routine audit and discovered Finlay had purchased a resident 1-year permit but was not a but did not have an Idaho driver's license in the database. At the conclusion of the investigation, Idaho Fish and Game contacted the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources and requested they serve Vinley a citation for purchasing the wrong class of license. Finlay pled not guilty. The charge was dismissed with the condition that Finlay pay $85 in restitution. On September 15, 2014, Brock Finlay waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Yockey? No. Is Mr. Finlay here today or a representative? No? All right. Bring it back to council for a motion or discussion. Okay. Thank you, Director Cook. Colonel Fuhrer?
To accept the recommendation of letter of caution.
Second. We have a motion and a second to accept the recommendation. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Council members, the next matter before the council is the certification of Ralph Evans. He is currently employed with the And I believe on your guys' form it may be incorrect. At least on my form it is. It says Syracuse Police Department, but it is with the Unified Police Department. The sustained allegation is reckless driving, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a six-month suspension. A summary of the facts are as follows. On October 28, 2012, Ralph Evans was arrested for driving under the influence of drugs. Evans was initially contacted by an officer near a DUI administrative checkpoint where Evans stopped to change a flat tire, which had been flattened when Evans vehicle struck a nearby curb. Evans later entered a no contest plea to the amended charge of reckless driving, a Class B misdemeanor. On August 7, 2014, a hearing was held before an administrative law judge. The ALJ subsequently issued a finding of facts and conclusion of law stating Post did not meet its burden of proof in its allegation of driving under the influence, count one as outlined in the notice of agency action. However, the ALJ found that Ralph Evans violated UCA 536.211 by engaging in conduct, which is a state criminal offense, to wit, reckless driving as provided in Utah Code Annotated 41.6A.528, count two, as outlined in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Is Mr. Evans or a representative here today?
Chair, members of the council, Brett Rawson for Ralph Evans. To be sure, the only thing before the council at this time is reckless driving. And the reckless driving that is the subject incident in this occurrence is driving and making a left-hand turn too wide such that he hit the curb and popped a tire. That's it. There was an adjudication before an ALJ concerning these allegations of DUI, and I frankly have to object about any mention of DUI such that it would color or negatively inform this body about what to do about this veteran officer. The reality is Ralph Evans has had an exemplary career. At his time at the Salt Lake City Police Department, he had nothing but commendations, no IA involvement whatsoever in all of those years, was injured dozens of times in the line of duty. He gave his life and his health to this career. And the evening in question, he went to get some ice cream and was changing the station on his radio while making a left-hand turn, turned wide and popped a tire. That's why the officer, the bountiful police officer who made contact with him, found him, because he had a flat. From there, you have these series of events where there is an investigation concerning DUI. That was adjudicated. And it was found that Post did not meet their burden to prove that Ralph Evans was ever under the influence of anything on the night in question. The only thing you have is a pop tire because of a wide turn. Now, at the time that these allegations came forward, the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Department, in fairness, reacting to the allegation of DUI, did suspend his pay, 176 hours. This is before there was any adjudication as to the facts of that evening. He has suffered as a result of this. He's paid a penalty as a result of this. To now suspend him for all you have, which is the reckless driving, I think is inequitable. And the reason why I say that, this body will recall that at times I have presented statistics. Usually it has to do with DUI. And I share with the council what you've done in the past with respect to that type of crime. This case and the facts consistent with what really is probably an improper left-hand turn are devoid of information. There is a vacuum of information about what you would do or have done in a case like this. I can't find one where anybody has been suspended for something like this. And so our request, frankly, is that you take no action, or in the alternative, that you issue only a letter of caution for what you have, which is the reckless driving. My client wishes to make a statement.
Mr. Chairman and members of the council, I want to thank you for making your way all the way here. I know I've driven a long way, and it's important for me to let you know that I did serve on the Salt Lake City Police Department for 22 years in patrolling in the detective division. I received 6 medals during that time. I was a training officer, and I never was disciplined once and had no internal affairs complaints in those 22 years. I retired and was hired by the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, where I've been employed for 10 years. In that time, I've been awarded 2 medals for duty above and beyond the call of duty, and several what they call 4-hour coins, which are given to officers who do something above and beyond, and it's redeemable for 4 hours off with pay. On the night in question, I was listening to a late night radio show. I had worked that night, the afternoon shift. My shift ended at 11 o'clock. My relief was one of my very best friends, and we talked until after 12:30. I drove home. My standard procedure is to watch some TV and calm down, settle down from work before I go to bed. I usually have a snack. I was out of ice cream, and I was going to the store to get some ice cream. And I live in Farmington, Utah, Davis County, and I was going to Centerville, approximately 4 miles away. I took the frontage road, which has a speed limit of 40 miles an hour, and after 3 miles, I came to my exit. I realized that it was just a little too late, and I did make a wide turn, and my right front tire made contact with the curb, and it flattened my tire. That area was dark, not well lit. The road was angled. I knew there was a 7-Eleven close by, and so I drove to that 7-Eleven on the flat tire so that I could change the tire, especially because I knew they had an air pump there. My attorney has said the sheriff's office has dealt with me rather harshly already. I've been punished. For this incident, I received 176 hours off without pay, which is rather severe. I would hope you'd take that into consideration. I did not intend to commit the crime of reckless driving, which is the willful and wanton disregard of the lives or property of another. I did not endanger the property or the lives of another in the actions that I took. There were no parked cars. There were no pedestrians. I just turned too wide and got a flat tire, and I hope that everyone who gets a flat tire doesn't end up like me facing a reckless driving charge. And I want to thank you again. My request is that you give me a letter of caution at the most. I have been told by my administration that if I have a suspension of my certification, that I'll lose my job. If I lose my job, I'll probably lose my home. I won't be able to get employment in law enforcement. I don't know what I'll do. So I hope you take all of that in consideration, and I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Mr. Ross.
Point of clarification. He's here today, in fairness to Post, because he pled to the reckless.
No contest.
No contest, thank you, to the reckless. In the review of the precedential history here at Post, you have sanctioned officers for reckless, but those cases deal with speed. They typically deal with high rates of speed. I know of no case that really fits the facts of this one, and that's why we're asking you to deviate from the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Yockey?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Evans.
Nothing further.
Nothing further. Okay, bring it back to the council for discussion and a motion. Sheriff Evans.
You know, I've looked at this case, and I do think that there is significant ambiguity here. I've wrestled with it, but I do believe that that is the case. Because of that ambiguity, I'm prepared to make a motion, but I don't know if that's correct. Or not. I'm always getting ahead of myself, and I apologize
right.
for that, Chair.
We'll go ahead and see if there's any discussion after we hear your motion.
All right. I would make the motion that we reject Post recommendation and that we move forward with a letter of caution on this.
All right. We have a second by Dr. Butt. Is there a discussion on the motion? Dr.
I would add that the medications that were identified as being taken prior to driving and also upon the blood test are serious medications that even if they're being prescribed by a physician, the person taking them should know that they should not be driving under those medications.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor of the motion to reject the recommendation of the staff and issue instead a letter of caution, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
One opposed, did you get that, John? All right, the motion carries.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Bart J. Higby. He is not employed with a police agency, nor has he been employed with a police agency. He was a former cadet. The sustained allegations are patronizing a prostitute, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a one-year suspension. A summary of the facts are as follows. On June 28, 2013, Higby contacted a local prostitute. Higby arranged to meet the prostitute at a local motel where he paid her to engage in sexual activity. On July 26, 2013, Higby was interviewed by a local police agency where he admitted to patronizing a prostitute. Higby was charged and entered a guilty plea to be held in abeyance to patronizing a prostitute, a Class B misdemeanor. On March 26, 2014, during a post-Garrity interview, Higby admitted to paying a prostitute for sex. On July 21, 2014, Higby waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Is Mr. Higby your representative here?
I am Bart J. Higby. I stand before this council to let you guys know that that was the biggest mistake of my life. It's something that I will regret, and it's something that I have learned from very much. I went to counseling and have successfully got through that since these allegations and since these charges have come about. I almost lost my family and my kids. I lost respect to my grandparents. And I am slowly regaining and gaining their trust once again. But mainly, I am rebuilding myself, realizing what I had done was a mistake. If you guys have an opportunity to ever look into my background, I have nothing. Nothing up to that point. Exemplary. Went on a mission for 2 years. Served an honorary mission in Brazil. I went through the police academy here in St. George. And to my knowledge, I never did anything wrong. And I loved every minute of the academy. And I love what the job of a police officer offers. So I come to this council to thank you for your consideration and my opportunity to be able to present myself to you to admit that, yes, I messed up. I gave into something that I shouldn't have gave into. And it's a problem that never haunt me again. And to please ask the council to consider my thoughts and to I guess to forgive me. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Higbee.
Any questions?
Any questions by counsel? No. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Yockey?
Nothing in rebuttal.
Okay. Bring it back to the council for a discussion and a motion. Any discussion on the matter? Okay. Do we have a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
The next matter before the council is the certification of Martin Luther Turner III. He is a retired member of the Utah Highway Patrol. The sustained allegations are wrongful appropriation, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a one-year suspension based on the summary of the facts. On February 9, 2012, Martin Luther Turner III was investigated by a local police agency for theft. The investigation disclosed that on January 15, 2010, Turner, a sergeant with the Utah Highway Patrol, provided another officer from another agency with a LIDAR and a broken taser, which belonged to UHP. The investigation determined Turner did not have authority to give UHP property to another officer from another agency. Charges were filed on Turner for theft, which was later amended to wrongful appropriation. Subsequently, the district attorney had the case dismissed and the city attorney declined to prosecute. Post conducted a Garrity interview with Turner, who admitted to giving the officer from another, who admitted to giving an officer from another agency a taser and LIDAR while Turner was employed with the UHP. Turner did not get authorization from UHP, complete any paperwork to document he gave the equipment to another officer from another agency, or make any attempt to get the equipment back before retiring from UHP. On September 2, 2014, Turner waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Rocky? Is Mr. Turner here this afternoon? Okay, bring it to the council for a discussion or a motion. All right, thank you, Colonel Fuhrer. Okay. Anyone want to make a motion on this?
I'll make the motion that we accept both recommendations.
Thank you, Director Cook.
Second.
Second by Chief Stratton. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next matter before the council is the certification of Reuben J. Badger. He is a former member of the Utah County Sheriff's Office. The sustained allegation, And just for clarification, if you look at your red sheet, there is an incorrect allegation on there. It's just impersonation of an officer. Unlawful detention was not a sustained allegation, and somehow we missed that. So the sustained allegation is impersonation of an officer, which falls under Category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is an 18-month suspension. A summary of the facts are as follows. On May 21st, 2013, Ruben Badger initiated a traffic stop using a siren he had installed in his personal vehicle. The driver of the stopped vehicle believed Badger to be an undercover officer and pulled over when he heard the siren. When the uniformed officers arrived, Badger told officers he was a soon-to-be deputy for the Utah County Sheriff's Office. It was later discovered that Badger had completed the Satellite Academy and was at the time employed in a non-sworn position. Badger had not completed all of the requirements for law enforcement officer certification. Badger still needed to complete emergency vehicle operation training before he could become a sworn police officer with the Sheriff's Office. The Sheriff's Office conducted an internal investigation into the incident and decided to terminate Badger's employment. Charges were filed on Badger for unlawful detention and having a siren in his vehicle. Badger later entered a guilty plea for the siren, and the unlawful detention was dismissed. On July 14, 2014, Badger waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Badger here, or a representative? Nope. Bring it back to council. Do we have a motion or a discussion on the matter? Motion to approve by Sheriff Smith.
Second.
Second by Sheriff Edmonds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next matter before the council is the certification of Kevin G. Erskine. He is a former member of the West Bountiful Police Department. The sustained allegations are sexual conduct on duty, which falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended discipline action is an 18-month suspension, and this is based on the fact that the conduct occurred while on dinner break in a private residence and the officer was not responsible for regular duty call-outs. A summary of the facts are as follows. Sometimes between the end of May and the first part of June 2013, Kevin Erskine was working as a West Bountiful Police Department security assignment at a local golf course. During his shift, Erskine was relieved by another officer so Erskine could take a dinner break. Erskine drove his patrol vehicle to his girlfriend's residence and engaged in sexual intercourse. Erskine then returned to his shift at the golf course. Erskine was being compensated by his agency during his dinner break, but was not required to respond to the regular law enforcement calls. On September 1st, 2014, Kevin Erskine waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Yonke? Is Mr. Erskine or a representative here this afternoon?
Was he subject to emergency call out, or is it how did that work exactly?
He was not emergency call out. No, he was not subject to emergency call out. I know he wasn't subject to regular ones, but he was not subject to emergency either.
Well, we're all subject to emergency call out, regardless if we're on duty or not, so I dispute that a little bit. All right. Any other discussion?
And just for clarification, because of it was a security assignment with the local golf course, he didn't have the regular radio, and so that's why he was not subject to emergency.
Right.
Chief Drake, it's his girlfriend, right? Neither are married, they're boyfriend, girlfriend?
From the facts that we have, yes, it is a girlfriend, boyfriend situation.
So he works at the golf course. Goes home, he's got no responsibilities for his jurisdiction or responsibilities because he's not on the city clock, he's on the golf course clock being paid for by the golf course.
If I can
confer with, just give me a second.
It's a city-owned golf course, and so It's the city that is providing the payment.
Okay. Sheriff Tracy.
Was this a paid or unpaid lunch? I mean, break? I mean, was he off the clock during that time? That time he counted?
As stated previously, he was being compensated by his agency.
Any other questions? Okay, bring back to council for a motion.
Can I make a motion?
Yes, you may.
You know, I'm not sure that this is what Paul's kind of intended for sexual conduct on duty. Although it is troubling because he was in uniform, he went back to his apartment, apparently because he was taking a break and not subject to specific call out for the time that he was working. I would say my recommendation would be to give a letter of caution for behavior.
Okay, we have a motion to reject the recommendation of staff in lieu of the penalty of 18-month suspension, issue a letter of caution. We have a second by Chief Stratton. Do we have any discussion on the motion?
And where he's being compensated, I just have a question on that, where he's being compensated for lunch, I still think he's technically on duty. That's my opinion.
And that's how it reads in the rule, administrative rule. On duty means that a peace officer is actively engaging in the duties of his employment as a peace officer, and next one is receiving compensation for activities related to his employment as a peace officer.
That's and, not or, right?
Yeah, it's or, because there's three
or.
Other
words. Okay, that's what.
Mr. Duncan, did you say he was in his regular uniform or security uniform?
He was in his regular uniform.
All
right.
Okay. Going from the security assignment to his residence, yes. But the conduct did not. Just for clarification, the conduct did not occur in the police vehicle. It occurred at the residence.
Did he take the car to her residence? Or?
Yes.
Okay, well, any other discussion on the motion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion to reject the post-staff recommendation and issue a caution, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, maybe we better do this by, you got it, Shauna? Okay. So the motion passes.
The next matter before the Post Council is the certification of Myra A. Cardenas. She formerly was with Ogden City Police Department. Sustained allegations are falsification of information on post application, which falls under category C of the post disciplinary guidelines. Post recommended disciplinary action is a 2-year suspension. A summary of the facts are as follows. On February 27, 2014, during a pre-employment interview with the local police department, Cardenas disclosed that she had used marijuana as recently as 2013 before entering the police academy. Post was notified of Cardenas' disclosure of drug use and conducted a review of Cardenas' post application. In conducting the review, Post discovered Cardenas had not disclosed the most recent drug use on her post application. On July 22, 2014, a hearing was held before an administrative law judge. The ALJ subsequently issued a finding of facts and conclusions of law stating Cardenas violated Utah Code annotated 536-11 as outlined in the notice of agency action.
Any questions for Mr. Yonke? Is Ms. Cardenas or a representative here this afternoon? No? Okay, bring it back to council for a discussion or a motion. Sheriff Edmonds.
Accept post recommendation.
Okay. Motion to accept. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Osmond. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Christopher A. Hauser. He is currently not employed. the sustained allegations or falsifying information on post-application, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 2-year suspension. Summary of the facts are as follows. On December 2nd, 2013, Christopher Hauser submitted an application to post to attend the police academy. Hauser made no mention of misusing prescription drugs. On January 14, 2014, Hauser submitted an addendum to his post application and again made no mention of misusing prescription drugs. Finally, on May 16, 2014, Hauser submitted another addendum which included a history of prescription drug misuse. On June 4, 2014, Post conducted a Garrity interview with Hauser. During the interview, Hauser admitted to intentionally omitting the prescription drug misuse because he thought it would look poorly to future employers. On August 9, 2014, Christopher Hauser waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Is Mr. Hauser a representative here today?
Good afternoon or evening, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to present I guess my position on this on these charges.
Okay, sir, would you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, Christopher Adam Hauser.
Thank you.
So on my in my original addendum, the first one that I had made to post, I had not mentioned these prescription drug abuses because I had had on my mind so many things like traffic stops and other things that were on this other this first addendum that it hadn't even occurred to me that I had forgotten to place. Let me start that over. So I hadn't put it on the first addendum because I had forgotten. My head was swimming with all the traffic stops, and I had also made some employment history changes. The reason I decided to create the second addendum was because in filling out an application for a job as a law enforcement officer, I noticed the discrepancies between my original post application and the one I was filling out presently to apply for the job. So it was at that point I submitted the addendum correcting my original statement in my first post application. I had also tried to make a point to submit this addendum before I had graduated. Hopes that might help, rectify my actions. I mean, I understood that I made a mistake and I was trying to correct this mistake now, before it became a problem later. I understand I made the mistake, and that's why I'm here in front of you guys today, is to, try and rectify that mistake, whichever way that goes, whether it's the 2-year suspension or anything less. To clarify also the prescription drugs that I had taken that were not prescribed to me, one of them was ibuprofen 800, which I had used for pain. It was ibuprofen 800. Another one was an antidepressant that I'm currently taking. My brother is on the same medication, and so when my prescription had run out, when I was waiting for it to become filled, I just took my brother's and, waiting until I got it filled. And then the other one was a sleep aid known as trazodone, which is, it can be, from my understanding, it can be prescribed as an antidepressant with a side effect of drowsiness, so it can also be used as a sleep aid. So those were the drugs that I had taken without a prescription, if that makes any kind of a difference. That's all I have. If there's any questions, I'll answer them.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Hauser? Nope. Thank you, Mr. Hauser.
Thank you.
Kriyaki?
Just in quick rebuttal, POST provides two opportunities to disclose information on a POST application. First, in the first time that someone submits an application, it has a statement that says you verify that the information contained on the POST application is correct. POST then provides a second opportunity to amend the information via an ethics class, and that's why we have the three instances, and that information was not disclosed, just for clarification.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Okay, back to the council for any discussion or a motion. Chief Stratton.
Go ahead, sir. Accept POST recommendation of 2-year suspension.
We have a motion by Chief Stratton to accept the recommendation. We have a second.
Second.
Chief Carpenter. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Yockey.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Robert A. Carter. He is a former member of the Utah Department of Corrections. The sustained allegations are assault, domestic violence, and domestic violence in the presence of a child, which falls under Category C of the POST disciplinary guidelines. POST recommended disciplinary action is a two-year suspension. Summary of the facts are as follows. On February 17, 2013, Robert Carter was involved in an argument with his brother-in-law inside the home in which they cohabitated. During the argument, Carter pushed the chair on which his brother-in-law was seated, causing the chair to fall over. Carter's brother-in-law sustained a minor injury to his hand, and the altercation was witnessed by Carter's younger niece and nephews. Local police arrived and arrested Carter for domestic violence, assault, and commission of domestic violence in the presence of children. On February 20th, 2013, Carter was charged with domestic violence, assault, and three counts of commission of domestic violence in the presence of a child. Carter entered a plea of guilty to be held in abeyance to the amended charge of disorderly conduct, a Class C misdemeanor. Carter resigned from his department on March 25th, 2013. On June 27th, 2014, Carter waived his rights to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you, Mr. Yockey. Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Is Mr. Carter a representative here this afternoon? Okay, back to the council for discussion or a motion.
Move to accept POST recommendation.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Gerald Bradford. Gerald Bradford is a former member of the San Juan County Sheriff's Office. The sustained allegations are sexual conduct while on duty, which falls under Category B of the POST disciplinary guidelines. POST recommended disciplinary action is a 2-year suspension. A summary of the facts are as follows. In February 2014, Gerald Bradford began a sexual relationship with a local female dispatcher. Bradford admitted that between February 1, 2014 and February 6, 2014, he and the dispatcher engaged in sexual conduct in Bradford's department vehicle while parked in a public place on three separate occasions. The conduct included the touching of breasts, genitals, and buttocks on top of the clothing as well as under the clothing. On September 16, 2014, Gerald Bradford waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Yockey? Is Mr. Bradford here, or representative, sir? Please step to the podium and state your name.
Gerald Bradford. I'm here today. I just want to apologize for my actions, for the shame and the embarrassment I brought upon my family, my department, and law enforcement in general. I love law enforcement. I gave it my blood, sweat, and tears for the last 16 years. And if given the opportunity, I'll come back and do it again. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bradford? No? Mr. Yockey?
Just for some follow-up and clarification, the baseline for a Category C is 2.5-year suspension. Is a 3-year suspension. Post is going, it recommended a 2.5-year suspension based on the fact that he self-reported this.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, back to the council for discussion or a motion.
Motion to accept.
A motion by Chief Carpenter to accept the recommendation of Post Council. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Sheriff Tracy. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next matter before the council is the certification of Janae Vandehay. She is a former member of the Box Elder County Sheriff's Office. The sustained allegations are domestic violence assault, domestic violence, and domestic violence in the presence of a child, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. Post-recommended disciplinary action is a 3-year suspension, and this is based on the amount and the amount of the offenses and also the nature of the offense. A summary of the facts are as follows. On June 26, 2013, Janae Vandehay and her husband got into an argument in their residence. During the altercation, Vandehay broke a picture, slapped her husband, spit on him, kicked him in the groin, and threw a book and jar at him. Vandehay's 10-year-old daughter was in the home at the time of the incident and heard the altercation. Vandehay and her husband were investigated by local police, and domestic violence charges were filed on both of them. Vandehay pled guilty to an amended disorderly conduct charge. On September 16, 2014, Janae Vandehay waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action. And just as a reminder, this is the counter case to the case that we've heard earlier today.
Any questions, Mr. Runke? Is a representative of Mr. Vandehay here?
Hello, Council. I just want to tell you thank you for taking the time to listen to my story. I want to start off with what happened prior to this, which is what instigated the entire fight. Me and my husband had just got married 3 days prior. On the wedding day, he started fighting with me because I had a bridal table that had just pictures of me in my wedding gown, and he thought it was selfish of me to not include him on that table. We went camping, which we brought all of our children with us. The first day was great. The ride up there was great. And on the second day, it started to rain. So me and three of my children decided that we wanted to stay out of the rain. So we went inside the trailer to stay dry and to take a nap. During that time, we started a game with the people in the trailer and the people outside. And we were trying to steal the food from the outside. My team, the ones that were inside, gained the food, which upset my husband that we actually won the game. So he took my dog and he tied him to a spick and was going to cook him on an open flame. He did that in front of all of my children, to the point that my children were in hysterics over it. I don't feel that he was actually going to cook my dog. I just think he was just trying to prove a point. I verbally confronted Todd about it and how it was wrong, which started an argument, and however, he released my dog. I tried to defuse that situation without speaking to him, and we ate dinner, the kids that were inside of the trailer. I took the food outside so the other kids could eat. Todd was mad that I ate without him, so he fed the food to the dogs, and the other kids were not allowed to eat the dinner that we cooked. I stayed in the trailer the remainder of the night, so I did not escalate the situation. However, he walked in several times, calling me multiple names, and started arguing with me, which I did not respond to any of those. On the way home, the next morning, we packed up and we left. Todd refused to speak to me the entire way home. When we got home, which was the day before the incident, he still would not talk to me, so I started to clean the house and put away wedding gifts as well as pictures. Todd came in the house and was very mad that I put pictures up without asking his permission or his children's permission to hang up photos in his home. After that, I went to bed because I didn't want to, again, start any fights. The next morning, the morning of the incident, my daughter, the 10-year-old that was there, had a gymnastics meet that I needed to, that I was late to. So I rushed her to the gymnastics meet, and I did not tell Todd goodbye. I didn't feel like I needed to because he wasn't really talking to me anyways. So I just rushed my daughter to the gymnastics meet. On the way back, he sent me a text telling me that I was the most selfish and thoughtless person he's ever met. I didn't understand what he was talking about, so when I got home, I sat next to him and tried to get him to talk to me, which he started to call me vulgar names and yell at me. I walked away from the situation and told him that if he can't talk to me without calling me names, then we weren't going to talk. I went and got my daughter, and then when I came back, I noticed that Todd had taken all of the pictures down that I had put up, pictures of our wedding, pictures of my children, anything that I had added to the home as a decoration he had taken down. I tried to ask him why he was doing that, and he told me that I, again, did not ask permission to put those up, therefore I didn't have the right to do it. I walked away, again, trying to diffuse the situation. Later, I walked into the kitchen, and he had taken a picture that he'd actually put up and stuck it in a box, along with all the other wedding stuff. He had stuck them all in a box. I told him, I'm like, this is the picture that you had put up. It wasn't me. He told me I was lying, that it was his, that I replaced it with one of his daughter's pictures. He again called me a selfish bitch, and that all I cared about was myself and my children. This is when I had the picture in my hand, and this is when I did throw that picture frame. I threw it at a wall, which did damage the wall, and it was in nowhere near Todd or in any way to hurt him or harm him. It was just out of complete frustration. I then knocked over some pictures as well out of frustration. Todd went to the back bedroom and began taking all of my belongings and throwing them in the bedroom, which he does about two or three times a week. I had to be to work in 45 minutes. All of my gear was in that bedroom, so I had to walk back to the bedroom to get my gear. I walked back there. I tried to talk to him, and I says, Todd, you can't kick me out every time we fight. We're married. This is our home. We're a family. He informed me that it was not my home, never was my home, and never will be. At that time, I said, fine, and I tried to grab some of my gear in the closet. That is when he pushed me down. In your paper, it says that I tripped on some clothing. However, I did not. He pushed me so hard that I hit my head on the ground to the point that I almost blacked out.
I'm just going to have to object. The petitioner has waived the notice as the facts are contained in the notice, and some of this information is in addition to the notice, which would be more properly suited in an administrative law judge here.
All right, ma'am, you do need to limit your comments.
Okay. After I did spit on my husband, that is true. However, I spit on him after, while he was choking me. It was the only way I could defend myself to get him off of me, and it did set him back far enough to where I could start kicking him. That is when I kicked him in the groin at that time. It was not on purpose to kick him on the groin. I didn't stand up and kick him in the groin. It was at that time that I did kick him in the groin, that I believe. Once he was off of me, I did throw things in his direction. I believe I hit him with a book, which was, again, out of fear. I wanted to keep him away from me. And at this time, I did run out of the house. I want to state that during this altercation, I did yell for my daughter to get out of the house. So when I left the room, I ran out, and I found my daughter in the backyard with my dog. That's when we left the home. There is some things in this that I didn't do that were maybe the best suit, but I did what I felt at the time is all I knew how to do. I was throwing the picture frame was inappropriate. It was completely out of frustration for 3 days of being tormented and called every name in the book. I wish I would have done things slightly different. One of them is I wish I wouldn't have any of this would have happened in front of my daughter. Which she has gone to counseling because of, and so have I. The reasons why I would like you to reconsider my suspension is because I didn't do anything out of I did everything I did to defend myself. It wasn't out of spite or hatred. It was completely to defend myself. I was a respected officer in my community. I never received any kind of complaints from the citizens in the community. I've always been very honest, and in this whole investigation, I've been completely honest with everybody that's been involved in it. I also know because of the situation that I'm going to be 10 times a law enforcement officer that I was before, because I'm going to know how to handle things a little bit better and be able to deal with domestic violence victims in a different manner. I was also told that I didn't suffer injuries that were severe. However, I still suffer from those injuries today, the injuries that were to my back. I hope that you can take the time to reconsider my suspension, and I thank you for your time and allowing me to tell my story.
All right. Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Vanderheide? No. Mr. Yonke?
Again, just to reiterate the objection, just the facts that are contained in the notice of agency action are the facts that were waived to. The additional facts that were brought up today would be more appropriate in an administrative law judge hearing, which she waived.
Your objection is so noted. Thank you. Sheriff Tracy.
Why is there a difference between the 3 year and 3.5 year when there are mitigating circumstances you looked at?
Between the two individuals?
Yeah.
I just wanted to confer with the investigator. It was because Post felt that the husband was actually the instigator in this, and so that's why we recommended a half year. Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, we'll bring it back to the council for any discussion and a motion. Sheriff Edmonds.
You know, this is unquestionably a toxic domestic situation between these two, and untenable to say the least. I think that the Post did take into consideration the fact that perhaps her husband was more predominant in his aggression here, and that's why she's been given, or the recommendation has been, for a 3 year suspension. I would make the motion that we accept Post's recommendation for a 3 year suspension.
Second.
Who seconded it? Okay, Commissioner Gibson. Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the recommendation of Post staff. Any discussion? Doctor?
I believe that in this situation, the husband was viewed as the instigator by Post. And you have a power differential between a man and a woman. I think we should take that into consideration, especially based on the facts of the case.
Any other discussion? Okay, we still have a motion and a second on the floor. Any other comments? Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Opposed. Motion passes. Mr. Yonke.
The final matter before the Post Council is the certification of Dan Oberg. He is a former member of the Ogden City Police Department. The sustained allegations are sex on duty and lying under Garrity, which falls under Category A and B of the Post Disciplinary Guidelines. Post recommended disciplinary action is revocation. A summary of the facts are as follows. On August 21, 2012, Ogden Police Department initiated an internal investigation regarding a complaint of sexual misconduct at a police substation involving Daniel Oberg. During his first Garrity interview, Oberg denied having any sexual activity at the substation. However, in a subsequent Garrity interview, Oberg admitted to several incidents of sexual activity with his girlfriend at the substation, as well as incidents of sexual activity in his patrol vehicle in a public place. Post conducted a Garrity interview with Oberg, and he admitted to having sexual intercourse at the police substation. Oberg failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on September 3, 2014, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Oberg.
Great. Any questions for Mr. Yonke? Is Mr. Oberg here this afternoon, or a representative? Okay, bring it back to council for a discussion. Okay, we have a motion to accept the recommendation of the application.
Second.
Second by Mr. Austin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Yonke. Okay, that brings us back to forming our committee to study the URS issues brought forward by Sheriff Decker of Millard County. Do we have any volunteers that wish to serve on that subcommittee?
I can serve, but I
can't chair. I understand.
But I'd like to be there.
I think that would be great. I think I'm going to put somebody on the spot. I think that since this has far-ranging implications for both municipal and county government, it might be nice to have an elected official who is not in law enforcement on the committee. Again, Commissioner, certainly fine. I think you'd bring a perspective that needs to be considered, sir. Sheriff Tracy? Okay. Do I have any law enforcement other than county officials? None of us really are outside of the county setting have this issue. So it might be appropriate just to keep it at that level. Director Stevenson, could you assign a staff member perhaps to assist in any research that might need to be done?
I'd be happy to help too.
Okay, Mr. Bolander, that'd be great. So we have Commissioner Gibson, Director Cook, and Sheriff Tracy, Mr. Bolander, and a staff member to be identified by Director Stevenson at a later time. And the date for a report back would be our December 2014 meeting. So that brings us to scheduling our next meeting, which will be my sidekick here and my last meeting in these chairs. So,
and
Sheriff Edmonds, and so there's going to be some significant changes on post council. Well, not too significant, considering who you'll be replacing. So, that's right. So, when's our next meeting, Scott?
Okay, we usually have it during the second week of December. Kind of stay away from the holidays. How does the 10th look?
The 10th and 11th?
Okay, what about the 8th and the 9th? How's that look?
That's no conflict with us.
Anybody else? 9th?
I prefer the 8th. For that.
The 8th? December 8th? Okay, December 8th it is. 10 o'clock at post.
I have a conflict. I have to be in Denver for a HIDA meeting on the 8th, and I won't be back until late the night.
Who had a conflict on the
10th?
9th?
How about the next week, 15th or 6th, 17th?
The next week, I'm out of town the whole week. Do you want to do the week before, first week of December?
That's
the worst week, actually.
You know, I'll send somebody else to HIDA. I don't relish flying over to Denver in December anyway.
I appreciate that.
I'm doing that for you. Yeah.
So we're back to the 8th. Okay. Post 10 o'clock.
You know, they can do without me.
10 o'clock.
No, I don't think so, Commissioner.
8 to 10.
Got out of that. Director, do you have any other?
I don't. Thank you, council members, for making
the
chair.
Anybody on the council, they want anything you want to bring up before we adjourn? Then we'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'm moved.
Thank you.